This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Audra McCabe. The Gold Mountain Fire grew in the Cimarron Ridge area on Monday, resulting in a slight decrease in containment. A crew was working in that area to re-establish containment lines. A Type 1 helicopter was also used to deliver 30,000 gallons of water. Crews have also been working hard to repair the containment lines and other suppression efforts along the fire perimeter. And officials say that work has been completed along most of the perimeter, though some road maintenance, removal of logs, and other efforts are still required in certain areas. A continued gradual increase in atmospheric moisture is predicted over the next several days, which will bring increasing chances of precipitation through the week. Montrose County Commissioner Sean Pond has threatened to sue journalist Kyle Clark and the media company he works for and has started a GoFundMe to cover the cost.
I've had two snakes try to bite me this week. One was Kyle Clark, and he missed, and the other one was Johnny Rattler over there, and he missed too, thank God.
The dispute stems from Sean Pond's post of an AI-generated image showing Democratic gubernatorial candidate Phil Weiser with devil horns. Denver-based journalist Kyle Clark pointed out that depicting Jewish people with horns is a centuries-old anti-Semitic trope. Pond stated that he had no idea Weiser was Jewish, but doubled down and shared additional images of Weiser and other Democratic politicians, some of whom are also Jewish. He also facetiously posted a photo of himself with the horns. Pond and his wife, Danielle Pond, have since announced that they plan to investigate and potentially sue Kyle Clark and his employer, Nine News. In a GoFundMe established to cover the cost, Danielle Pond says that her husband has faced harassment and death threats since Kyle Clark's accusation of anti-Semitism. She also said, quote, "We intend to hire experienced counsel to investigate and pursue every person and corporate entity the evidence shows is legally responsible. That includes Kyle Clark personally, KUSA/9 News, Multimedia Holdings Corporation, Tegna, Nextstar Media Group, and any other responsible affiliated entity, and identifiable individuals who made death threats or unlawfully harassed our family," end quote. She also says they hope to raise $100,000 to, quote, "hire counsel, preserve the evidence, identify those responsible, and begin this fight." Sean Pond asked for support in a video on social media.
Who's next? You? Your wife? Your husband? Your children? Your father? Your brother? Your sister? If we don't hold them accountable, then who will? Welcome to the battle, folks. This is where it starts. Stay tuned. Join in. Help us fight and win. Let's save Colorado together.
Kyle Clark asked the Ponds where the funds will go if they don't pursue legal action. They told him, "Every dollar will be handled lawfully and transparently. If any money remains unused, donors will be told exactly how it is handled." At last night's Montrose School Board meeting, Superintendent Dr. Carrie Stevenson's paid leave was continued and her grievance against the board was dismissed. Stevenson was placed on leave in May following the resignation of Olathe Elementary Principal Jennifer Hesse. Members of the board who voted for Stevenson to be placed on leave said it was to shield district employees from fear of retaliation as a third-party investigator looked into Hesse's conduct and Stevenson's response. Stevenson filed a grievance against the board. She alleged governance violations, problems with her superintendent evaluation process, and retaliation. She pointed specifically at Board President Nisha Balick during her explanation of the grievance. After the board returned from a lengthy executive session at last night's meeting, where they learned about the results of the third-party investigation, Vice President Ted Valerio moved to adopt the following statement.
"The board acknowledges that the 2025 and 2026 written goal step was not separately documented and that that several communications described in the grievance could have been handled more clearly and constructively. The board does not find, however, that those circumstances established the assertion pattern of unlawful individual board action, retaliation, open meetings law violations, interference with superintendent's contractual authority, or a hostile and retaliatory employment relationship. For the reasons stated above, the board denies the grievance and the requested relief, except for the prospective governance commitments expressly stated in the board response, which will be published forthwith. This report constitutes the board's final response to the grievance and closes the grievance process."
The motion passed with only board members Jody Hovde and Tom West dissenting. The board then voted unanimously to extend Dr. Stevenson's paid leave. Here's Hovde.
"I'm going to just say that I feel like this decision is in the best interest moving forward of the kickoff of school tomorrow and students returning next week.
Balick then acknowledged the difficulty faced by Olathe Elementary staff.
We want the staff to know that we're here for them and that we care about them and that we wish it didn't have to be this way.
Controversial attorney Brad Miller was also present at the meeting. It's not immediately clear why Bryce Carlson, a partner at Miller's firm and the board's usual representation, was not present. For more background on this story, check out our Montrose School Board tag on kvnf.org. We'll continue to keep you updated as the situation unfolds. President Trump's fast-tracking of nuclear energy projects in the U.S. made a big leap this year. Now, a new generation of small reactors is poised to come online in the next few years. The Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mersbach takes us to a small town in Idaho at the center of it.
People still smoke indoors at the bar in Atomic City, Idaho, population 52. The walls are plastered with $1 bills and a "Don't Tread on Me" flag.
Both of you here?
Yeah.
Where were you Monday?
Bar and nearby racetrack owner Vicky O'Haro greets her regulars.
I bagged you a bag of beer.
She knows their orders by heart. Cold beers or shots called atomic bombs. This is fitting since most of them work down the road at Idaho National Lab, or INL, America's nuclear energy test ground since 1949. A March Gallup poll shows a majority of Americans still oppose a nuclear energy plant in their area. That's not the case here.
I live 10 miles away and I'm fine. I'm not glowing in the dark. You know, there's nothing to be scared of.
Three companies at INL and one in Utah just switched on new types of reactors they hope will jumpstart nuclear power in the U.S. It stalled out for decades, largely because of public opinion.
I think it's actually pretty cool to be happening in my backyard.
INL is a pretty big backyard. It's 900 square miles of remote, sagebrush-filled high desert, almost the size of Rhode Island. And it's in an unassuming building here that one startup, Deployable Energy, recently reached a big milestone.
She's grabbing the reactor. Grabbing the reactor. There she goes.
A late June video shows engineers taking the company's test reactor critical, meaning it had a sustained chain reaction for the first time. That proves the design works and could someday generate electricity.
A real moment in history for the nation. This could be a real turning point for the energy future.
Deployable's Lance Mall has an Australian accent, a scraggly beard, and a man bun. He says the goal isn't your 20th century massive, expensive nuclear plant, but a micro one that could power 1,000 homes versus a million.
It's something deployable. It's something that you can put on the back of a truck. It is a fundamentally different proposition.
Nuclear optimists see a future where these reactors are mass-produced and power remote communities, military bases, and AI data centers, meeting America's rising energy demand without emitting carbon. President Trump is also a fan. Last year, he fast-tracked reactor permitting. NPR reporting has shown that means getting rid of hundreds of pages of regulations without telling the public.
I have no confidence in the Department of Energy and its oversight of this at all.
Edwin Lyman, a nuclear safety expert at the Union of Concerned Scientists, worries about reduced standards around radiation, security, and environmental contamination. And the Federal Commission that oversees commercial nuclear development has lost hundreds of staff, especially safety experts, due to cuts by the Trump administration and resignations. Companies now testing their reactors will seek approval from that commission.
I don't think cutting corners when you're talking about nuclear safety is a good idea.
Back in the bar in Atomic City where lab workers hang out after a long day, Vicky O'Haro says she isn't worried.
We're safe. If it wasn't safe, my guys would tell me if we weren't safe.
A majority of Americans oppose new nuclear plants near them, but polling also shows growing support for the U.S. emphasizing nuclear power more broadly. For Wyoming Public Radio and the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach in eastern Idaho.
That's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, August 12th. If you're not able to always catch our newscast live on air, all episodes are available whenever you are on kvnf.org, the KVNF app, Spotify, and now on Apple Podcasts. I'm Audra McCabe.